The one other thing I would say is that we do have more data that's coming out on the use of bendamustine and rituximab. And very recently, at the most recent ASH meeting, we had the STEEL trial presented. And that was the trial that compared bendamustine and rituximab followed by 2 years of maintenance rituximab versus 4 years of maintenance rituximab. The important thing is everybody in that trial got bendamustine rituximab followed by 2 years of maintenance rituximab, and then were randomized to either 2 additional years of maintenance or not. So the nice thing is that's another sort of group of patients that we can look at that received that combination up front to see, you know, do we see the same kind of toxicity? And that trial, you know, we haven't seen published yet. It'll be nice to see the full presentation, but at least what I saw presented at ASH, we weren't seeing quite the same concern for toxic deaths from infection in that group of patients. So I think we need to put all the information together, and it may be that gallium might have overblown the risk a little bit, but I don't want to underscore that risk. I think it has made me much more aware of that potential risk, but it hasn't stopped me from wanting to use the bendamustine.
Getting back to this issue of toxicity and particularly infusion reactions with obinutuzumab, one of the general oncologists who was attending one of our symposia recently asked a question that I had never thought about before, and I've been asking people recently, and his impression was that the infusion reaction with obinutuzumab was less in patients with follicular lymphoma than it is with CLL. Is that your take?
I think absolutely. You know, you can argue that probably the same thing is true for rituximab to a certain degree, although I think because of the higher risk of the reactions of the obinutuzumab, it's probably something that we pay more attention to. But I think undoubtedly the infusion risk is lower in non-Hodgkin lymphoma in general with the obinutuzumab than it is in CLL. And in my clinic, you know, it's been really manageable. So in the trials, we can see that that risk is higher. But from a practical point, when I'm treating a patient, I'd say that they respond just as well to the supportive maneuvers that we administer for patients receiving rituximab. And I don't personally find it to be a very big issue and doesn't dissuade me from using it.